Well, if you have a Bible then this morning, turn to that chapter from the book of Romans, chapter 10, and I've just got one text which has been greatly used by God in the past to lead people to come to a real faith and saving experience with Him. Lost men and lost women can know Him. Actually, the book of Romans is a book which has been especially blessed throughout history of being used by God to let others know and to explain to them the wonderful message of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a reason for that. I know every book in the Bible is God's word. But in the book of Romans, what you have is the unfolding of the message of the cross. The message of the cross. That we are told in the Gospels what Jesus said and what He did and how He died. But in you come to the book of Romans, we're being told and explained of what He achieved in His death, what it really means, that He was there to die for our sins, that we could be made right with God. It's a wonderful message, and I can say to anyone this morning, you know, that is the message of this book, is that you can come to know God this morning by faith in Jesus Christ, and not of works that any man should do, but that if you simply believe and trust in Him. There is a hymn that goes like this: the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. And this morning, just this one text I have for you, and here it is in verse 9. And if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And what happens at this chapter, in chapter 10, is that Paul, even though he's a great teacher, he also has a great heart. He has a heart for people. He has a heart for the lost. And in verse 1, this is what he says: brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. And when he's writing to the church at Rome, we know that there are two sections in that church. We know that because from verse 16 of chapter 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation, to all who believe, to the Jew first, and also then to the Greek. And in the church, there were those which are of the natural people of Paul. They were those which loved God's law. They had a zeal for the things of God. They wanted a righteousness before God. And as you read that chapter, Paul knows what they're like. He was brought up with them. He understands them. And look, there may be someone here today. It's not that you're not a believer in God. It's not that you don't have a desire to know Him. It's not that you're not trying your best to live then some kind of life that will please Him. And Paul's got to just lay it all. Look, brethren, just my heart's desire is this. I know that you are wanting to ascend into heaven. I know that you're trying to make that ladder to get there. And I know that you would go even to the depths of Hades, so to speak, to bring Christ up. But the point is this, is that none of these things can actually bring you to God. And you need to know the gospel, that no one has ascended into heaven, but He that came down from heaven, the Son of Man who was in heaven. And here's the great appeal. There it is in verse 9. Look, of all the things you're trying, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, then you shall be saved. You can imagine the appeal, you see, is not actually that you would come from the world, so to speak. But the appeal is that you stop these kind of good works trying to make yourself right with God. You cannot do anything. You just need to know there are two things that you need to live. Do you know that? There are two things of your body you need to live, and you can't do without them. One's your mouth, and the other's the heart. You can live without your eyes, you can live without your ears, you can live without your hair, you can live without your toes, you can live without your feet, but you can't live without your mouth, and you can't live without your heart. And he says, now look, you need to make a confession, and with your mouth. There may be someone today, perhaps in a police cell, who's got to make some confession, a horrible thing, of some crime they've committed. And then there's those who've got to make a confession, perhaps to a loved one, that something's not right. And then there are those, they go to these groups these days to speak about their lives and how they are and the things that they struggle with. None of that will save you. None of that will save you. The only confession that will save you is that you confess that you believe in the Lord Jesus, and you do that in your life and in then your experience. And look at that now in that text. I want to bring it home to us that if you confess with your mouth, and if it was anyone here today, because I know what it's like when you're trying to, you know, tell people and explain to them, and they tell them how to come to God, you know, one of the things they'll always say to you, well, do you know, I've got a friend who believes that, just what you're saying and preaching today. And not only that, actually, you know, my mother and my father, they were real, real Christians. You know, they were Christians and they believed in God. And actually, you know, my father or grandfather, he was a church warden and he was even a preacher. And yet at the end of the day, even if it was your wife or your husband, you know, if you yourself would confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And I know there are people who have actually had an experience where they've perhaps been baptized when they were children. And you know what happens there? That the mother and father actually make a confession on behalf of their child. Well, look, it just won't save you. It's going to have to come a time in your experience where you yourself will acknowledge of who then the Lord Jesus Christ is. And it comes a moment and a time in our experience. Now, we're all like that, aren't we? I can tell you there are those missionaries out in the world today. And what happens so often, they go into a certain place and they go into tribal places. And the whole idea is that you've got to get to the head tribeman. And if you can convert the head tribeman, then what happens is that the whole village and the whole tribe then follows the head tribeman and they all become Christians and are baptized. The only problem with that is this, is that when the head tribeman decides for whatever reason that he's no longer a Christian and doesn't want to be one, then all of them, missionaries have seen, a work in a moment. You say, what's that? I tell you what that is, you see, that no one can become a Christian on your behalf. You've got to do your own believing as you've got to do your own eating. You must do it yourself. And I know we used to live in a Christian country and people used to say, are you a Christian? And the point was this, you say, I live in it. Well, we're not living in a Christian country now, are we? And the reality is this, you need to make that response to him. It's the Lord Jesus who actually said these words himself. Whoever confesses me and acknowledges me, whoever that may be, that's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. Whoever the person is, it doesn't matter what they've done, where they've come from, who they are. Whoever acknowledges me before men, my Father will acknowledge them before the angels in glory. And whoever does not acknowledge me and denies me before men, my Father will deny them, you see. On that day, there is a great need this morning. And I'm going to ask you that. Have you ever confessed him before men, that you've actually made a confession? You've sat in the pew, you've read your Bible, you sing your hymns, but has there ever been a day where you've actually said that Jesus is Lord, that he is the Lord, and you've made mention of him? You know, not that that makes you a Christian as such, but I will say this to you, it's definitely one of the fruits that a person is a Christian. I know that there are those who will say to him on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not do many things in your name and prophesy and cast out demons? And he'll say to them in that day, listen, I never knew you. Depart from me. Not everybody who says the words may be going to heaven, but I do know this. Every true child of God who does will say that Jesus is Lord. And has there been that time where you in your life have made that confession and you need to do it with your mouth? Perhaps to your closest loved one, to your family. You need to do it in your work. You've been one of those secret agents which no one knows anything about your life and what's in your heart. And then perhaps it's also this. You're the only one in the family and who believes this. And you have to make that confession. You have to stand before your friends. You have to stand before those at work. Stand in that home where you are. And stand in the school that you are. And you say, do you know, whatever this world is saying, I confess with my mouth, the Lord Jesus. In a world which takes his name in vain, the world which has no respect for him whatsoever, the world which is propagating things which are just simply wrong, you say, and you're making that statement, that I believe in the Lord Jesus, and he is Lord of my life. And I'm not bowing down, forgive me, to anything of the Lord of science and the Lord of human thinking and the Lord of other ideas. There is one Lord over all, Jesus Christ, and it is him. And that's the one that I come and I serve and I know. Do you know that there are people this morning, they are really making a stand, look, in this area, in the day and generation which we live. It was not easy. When Paul is writing to these Christians at Rome, you know that there was that call that Caesar is Lord. And they had that where they had to acknowledge that. It was very, very important. And now you see he's writing to them and says, now look, you have to acknowledge that the Lord Jesus in one's life. Do you know, there are people today, those which are at work in hospitals, which are even losing their jobs, definitely not having promotion, because they're working in the hospital, and they're working as doctors, and they say, no, I will not perform that procedure of abortion. I believe Jesus is Lord. Do you know, there are pharmacists now which are going to lose their jobs the next number of weeks unless they give the morning after pill, which is over the counter. And you know, there'll be those which in their conscience will say something. No, do you know, I believe that Jesus is Lord. And there are those, you see, in this nation where they're saying that you can live like this and live like that, and they propagate all these things even in the church. You say, no, I'll tell you what, Jesus is Lord. And there's a place that you do that. Actually, there is a what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And he speaks there, so we believe, so we speak. And that's what he's saying here. Actually, for that to happen in your life, the Apostle Paul says, no one can say that Jesus is Lord unless by the Holy Spirit. It's one of the great signs that something has happened in your life. And so it is. He wants them now. Now look, you don't have to go on this great big work at all. But if you only just confessed, not that that confession, as I show you now, will save you, but that you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. And that's the second thing, is this. Is that although, for example, in verse 10, you see the order is changed around. Now, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, speaking won't actually save you, but believing will. And the person who does believe will speak. That's definitely a case. that you will testify of what's in your heart. Because actually, what happens in this very place, what's concerned most of anything else, is what's in your heart. It's what proceeds from your heart, is what's really important. Now look, what happens, the Lord Jesus knows that. When Jesus was on earth, this is what he said. He said, the trouble with you is this. You just worship me with your lips, with your lips. See, but your heart is far from me. And there has to be something now that has happened in your heart. Not what you do with your hands, but what takes place here, inside you. And that's incredibly important, is that you believe with your heart. Now, you just have to know that whatever else you may have said with your mouth, unless you've believed it from here, you're never going to be saved. I'll give you a number of illustrations, really, and examples. Over the years, I've had quite a number of people. I tell you what my practice is. I know it's not the practice these days, but I do it. I've had to deal with many people who've been alcoholics. And when you're dealing with an alcoholic, one thing I've known is this. They may not be here tomorrow. Their lives can be just gone like that. And when you're dealing with them, you realize life is so short. On a number of occasions, I have prayed. I've prayed with many in the house. I will do it. I won't leave them leave the house. And I will make them. I will make them pray the sinner's prayer. I will do that because I know it may be the last chance I'll ever have to speak to them. And some have gone the very next day. Others the next week. Others within a month. And they're gone. And I've told them and I explained the gospel and I've gone through it with them. And I've said, I'll tell you before you go out to this place, because next time I'm going to be seeing you, it'll be in your funeral. I have to face your mother and I'm going to need something to say. So I say, say these words after me. Heavenly Father, believe in your son, believe in your son. Come into my heart, come into my heart. Forgive me for my sins, forgive me for my sins, and help me to have eternal life. Now there's one thing I do know, right? Is this. Is that that has to be prayed from the heart. I've gone through it, I've told them. But I have prayed it with them. And that's what you need. You may have said the sinner's prayer. You may have stood up and given a confession. You may have stood before the church in a kind of baptism and you've said the right things all about what Jesus is. What he's done. You believe in the cross. You believe he died for your sins. You said all that, but still, you see, it hasn't happened there within your heart. I'll give you another example. There was a person I buried just last week. And she was an old dear. And she was in her 90s too. And I'd go around because I'd always, you know, in the pews, you want to know where they are. And I'd go, and she was brought up in chapel. And I can tell you this. Do you believe this to be God's word? Yes. Do you believe Jesus to be the Son of God? Yes. Do you believe he died for your sins? Yes. Do you believe going to heaven? Yes. It was always yes. Always yes. I'm so glad it was yes. But the point was this, I could never even get to the depths of whether it was in the heart. Do you know that? In the heart. It could have just been here. Within the head. Within the head. I'll give you another example. I've got a funeral coming next Saturday. And what happened was this, is that over this COVID experience, as you were making your films now, which are going over the air, I had a phone call a number of months ago that this person who had been brought up in chapel life had begun listening to the services there in the town of Llanelli. And every Sunday morning, the daughter phoned and said, look, my mother would watch you on, you know, this YouTube. And I don't know whether she is a Christian. All I know is that she has to watch now, you know, on Sunday morning, she has to watch. And she'll watch you. Well, last week or the week before, this lady began to pass away, to die. She's gravely ill. She's dead now. And so I went up, could you come and see her? Because I don't know where my mother stands. So I went up to the house and I was able to talk the gospel to her. And when I was talking to her, just like many chapel people, she'd been brought up in it. Do you understand? They believe it. They believe what the minister said. They wouldn't question it. It was one of those things which was just in them. And then I said, okay, you believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe that? Yes, I believe that. So I said, I tell you what, let me ask you another question. When did you come to know of this? Or when did you become a Christian? She said, when I was watching on a Sunday morning, he came into my heart. Into my heart. He touched my heart. And I knew then. It's a wonderful thing, you see. When God does a work upon someone, it has to touch your heart. When Paul went and preached there in Philippi, do you know what God did? He opened the heart of Lydia. It was dealt with. And what happens in our own experience is that God does that. When you're under the word and you're listening to it, when the two on the Emmaus road, do you know what they said? Did not our hearts burn within us? Burn within us. And not only that, look, you may be here, you've got to ask this yourself. Has your heart ever been touched? I mean, someone may have broken your heart. They may have upset you in a great way. But has anybody ever touched your heart? Do you know of something of that new covenant of the heart of flesh? And something happened in there. Do you know, it is John Wesley who said when he was converted, he was a very religious man. He was a man who had gone to be a missionary to the Indians and realized he wasn't converted. And then he says, my heart was strangely warmed. And you see what happens. Those things you know there sank down to there. And it's that work which is of God. And you believe there. Well, what do you believe? Well, what you have here in this statement are simply two things. It's very simple. It's actually one of those creedal confessions that the minimum that you need to have and need to know. And in this little experience here in chapter 10, there were two things they needed to know. Confess that he is Lord, and also believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Now, this is what you're believing. And the way it's put is that God has done something in the Lord Jesus Christ. God who made heaven and earth, God who made you, is the God who sent his son, loved the world. God is in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God has done something. God has raised him from the dead because Christ died. Christ died for our sins. Christ died according to the scriptures. He was risen again on the third day according to the scriptures. And when you know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ, you know this. He definitely did die. He died an awful death, a terrible death, an agreeful death. He died a death of atonement. He died a death on behalf of others. He died a death as a sacrifice. He died a death to make us right. Christ died. And yet, you know this, do you not? That God has raised him from the dead. That's a great belief. That in Jesus Christ, God was doing something. I say that because you can believe many things. Let me tell you again. You can believe. I believe the Bible. Good. Thrilled a bit. I believe, you know, lots of things which are right and true. Fantastic. But what you really need to believe is simply this. That God himself has been doing a great work. The work which changes everything around. where God has dealt with death and with the grave and with hell and with the devil and with the pit and with your eternal life. God has dealt with that. And in Jesus Christ, that name has been accepted in him and by him. Look, it's that which we read in Romans chapter 1. He begins it. And you can't be a Christian without believing these various things. And there it is in verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. I was listening to a vicar the other day, and they were on the radio, and this is what they said. Out of the whole creed that, you know, hand on heart, and people think this is wonderful. You forget it. You need to forget this nonsense. I'm only being sincere to myself, you know. I'm only being sincere what I believe. That sincerity will take you to hell. I'm only telling you with my heart. You know what he said? Out of the whole creed, you know, I believe in the Father who made heaven and earth and in his Son. The whole creed, you only believe one part of it. That Jesus Christ was crucified under Pontius Pilate. That's the only thing, right? Nothing else. Not your forgiveness of sins, not your resurrection, not the Holy Spirit, not the Father, not the Trinity, nothing. I can only prove, you see, one thing from history, that Jesus Christ stood before a man called Pontius Pilate and died. He did die. But I tell you what, that will never save you. You've got to put a hand on heart. I believe. Yes, he died and he was dead. He was crucified, laid in a grave, and his body did not rot. And God has raised him. And he's put an end to this death. Now, look, those two things, with your mouth and with your heart, here's the wonderful news. You shall be saved. Now that word there in verse 9, which is four words in our English language, is only one in the Greek. Saved, in a future tense. And actually, that's the wonderful great news that we've got. That this morning, if you were to come to him and know that in your experience, then I can assure you today, by the promise of God, by his word, that you will be saved. I know that's not a word that is bandied about. It's not one of those words which is popular. Are you saved? Are you saved, brother? Well, I tell you what, it's definitely a gospel word, and it's definitely where you can be saved. You can be saved from your sin, from hell. You can be saved from, you know, everything. But you're saved in the future, before that judgment seat of God. Let me tell you about that. You will know what it is, and what a comfort, that you will be secure, not lost, not doomed. You will not perish. You will have everlasting life. You will be saved, and you will be with God in heaven. Now, here's the thing. Very important. When he makes this statement that you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you see, that is a clear creedal statement of not just what you feel, and it's not just what you think, and it's not just what your heart is telling you, but it is the absolute, total, utter truth. That God raised him from the dead, and listen, that he is now then seated at God's right hand, and he has given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father in heaven. Now, did you hear that? Every single one of you here this morning will one day confess with your mouth that he is Lord. Everyone in the world who's ever lived, every dumb and every mute person, will speak those first words, he is Lord. And the Bible says, on that day, many will do it through the gnashing of teeth. And you here this morning, you'll say, what you confess here with your mouth, with the love which should be then within your heart, that will settle your eternal destiny, because He is Lord. And you know that even this day. Look, you know what it is to be saved. Let me comfort you with this. I can't help but think of John at this time. He made a confession. He knew when he wasn't a Christian, and he said when he was a Christian. And in those which grieve this day, may that be the comfort, whoever has made that confession, that now you see in my life, and I believe in all that he's done, and he has risen from the dead, I believe that you shall be saved. You shall know that in your life. There was a little chorus, and I know we've got singing problems these days, haven't we? And little chorus, it goes something like this. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I tell you what, let's just sing that now. Let's sing it now. He is Lord, He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And whoever does shall be saved.